Okay, I have something really juicy for you today. You know that house that was once featured on the Bravo network on The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills? The house that they rented for a girls' trip? Well, I have rented this house for a women's retreat taking place June 21st through the 25th. And this house is a 6,000 square foot luxury villa in the foothills of Santa Barbara. So you can find all the information for the retreat at projectimpactretreat.com. I'll see you there.
Hello, and welcome back to Tech Champagne. My name is Alisa Purdy, and I'm your host. And today's episode is going to be a little bit different than the typical Tech Champagne episode, where we talk about all things business strategy, revenue strategy, creating online revenue streams, coaching programs, automated revenue, all the good juicy things we usually talk about on Tech Champagne, because I want to share two really personal life updates that are happening in my life currently. And I know a lot of you that follow me on Instagram already know, but some things that are happening over here on my side of the world, or if you are my friend on Facebook, or if you're on the email list, different places, you might already know some of this information, but I'm going to dive a little bit deeper into it anyway here on the podcast. I think it's important to share real human life things on the podcast. I think it serves a lot of people who are struggling to figure out life and money and health and happiness and all the things that are really important to us as human beings. So there are two really big things that are sort of happening in my life right now, and they both happened this week. I'm recording this on March 22nd. I'm not really certain the day it'll go live, but the week preceding March 22nd, there were a couple big things happening. Number one, I am in the process of changing my last name. I know it still says Wilcox on many things online, and my lovely online business manager who's helping me track down all the places where it says Wilcox and change it to my new last name, which is Purdy. My husband and I were married a year ago, February. So I have decided to change my last name. It was something that we discussed in great detail before we got married. It really made no difference to him whether I did or whether I didn't. And getting married at 44 years old, you know, you have a lot of life foundation already built under your name. So it's a different experience changing your name at 44 than, you know, 18, 22, whatever that might be. So I was very excited to do it. We are planning on having children. And so for me, it's important. And I love his last name. We were friends since 2008. I always loved his last name and I always secretly wanted it. So here we go. So I'm very excited to have it. But here's the thing. I was married before to a lovely man who I've talked about here on the podcast before. And when you change your name, if you've gone through this process, you already know this, you have to document all past legal names and then support documentation to support the name change. Love it. Legal, document everything. You know, it's the DMV. You got to dig deep into documentation, which I'm totally fine with. So I changed my name on a couple things early on, right after we got married. And then for some reason, the DMV stuff has been so sticky for me. I just haven't wanted to do it. I've not wanted to do it. So I've just been cruising around in sort of like last name purgatory for a while, for a year, until we went to Cancun for our anniversary in February, and I lost my driver's license. I had a new purse that had the slots in there were a little looser than my purse I carry around most days, and it fell out somewhere in Mexico. So my driver's license currently lives in Mexico. So now the issue of updating a driver's license has become time sensitive. So the other day, my husband said, "Hey, let's sit down together and do the documentation stuff on the DMV website, because I know it's kind of a pain in the neck and you don't really want to do it." And I said, "Yeah, totally. Let's do it." Because he knows when I really want to do something, it gets done in like 5 minutes. I'm a doer. I'm a doer of things. And for some reason, this task just kept sitting on the to-do list, not getting done. So he said, "Okay, let's go through it." And it's a little bit confusing because I wanted to update my last name, but now I'm also needing a replacement license because I lost my license. It's a whole thing. So some of the choices as you go through the questionnaire, did it totally make sense for my situation? But we were going through it together anyway. And, you know, he doesn't really have the emotional attachment to it that I do as far as the process and, you know, having gone through a divorce before. So it was great to bring him on board to help dig through the stuff that was holding me back. So we're sitting here at the computer together in our office that we have. And I said, okay, let me grab the file folders where all the documents are. My divorce papers are in there. And I said, you know, we have to take a picture of it or scan it and submit it and put all this stuff on the DMV website. He's like, great. Okay, great. And during this time of this questionnaire online, I'm getting more and more frustrated. And I'm like, why isn't this easier? How come this doesn't make sense? The DMV sucks. Which, looking back to me, I know was the start of anxiety for me. When anxiety takes over for me, this might be true for you as well, I get frustrated. I get really short-tempered. I get frustrated, and it's very apparent when I'm frustrated. So looking back on that day, a few days later, I was like, yep, me getting pissed off at this website was me feeling emotional about the topic that we were diving into. So I'm sitting there and I told him, I said, I don't want to do this. It's overwhelming. I just don't want to do it. And he said, well, I'll help you. I'll help you. He's a saint. This man is a saint. So I grabbed the file folder and I went to dig for the divorce papers and I couldn't find them. They're there. It's not a very big file folder. I know exactly where they are. But for some reason at that moment in time, I was so heightened emotionally that I just couldn't make sense of all the documents that are in there. There's a variety of legal documents in this folder. And I just looked at him and I put it down and said, I need a break. And he said, okay. So I went in the kitchen and started bawling my eyes out. And then I went in the backyard and bawled my eyes out. And so he came and sat with me and he said, what can I do? What can I do? And I said, I just don't want to do it. I don't want to look at my divorce papers. I'm not going to cry on this podcast, but I might. I don't want to look at the papers. I do want to change my name, but today's not the day. And so he said, okay, you know, let's put it away. And he went to the store and he got food and made me a cup of tea and my favorite blanket, made a little cozy nest for me on the couch. And he just left me alone for a little while. And everybody's story with divorce is different, but mine, I don't know if this is common, but we got married. And I was not going to change my name when I got married because I'd had this business that I built from nothing and I was really proud of it. And I didn't want to erase my identity. I felt like really strongly about that I was going to be erasing my identity. And I didn't want to do that. So I'm a feminist either way. Changing my name or not changing my name, I'm a feminist. So is my husband. So I remember having a lot of resistance to it. And then when my first husband and I started talking about having kids, and I thought, you know what? I want us all to have the same last name. So I will do it. And I was ready and I was excited. And so I went and I did the paperwork and I did the thing online. And, you know, it takes several weeks for your new driver's license to come. But he and I were having some problems and decided to separate. And so, get this, my new driver's license arrived to our house 2 weeks after he had moved out. It was like a kick in the teeth. So yes, anybody that knows me and knows that story understands why changing my name and having to go through this process, again, at this point in my life, has a lot of emotional attachment to it, a lot. And I'm excited to do it. I am very excited to do it. I have feelings about it because I'm a human being and it's bringing up some traumatic experiences that happened, you know, years and years ago. So today he checked in with me. He's really worried. Here's the thing. My husband is a rule follower, which I love. Does think by the book, which I love. And he said, honey, you're driving without a valid driver's license right now. And I know this is sensitive for you. So I'm just going to gently check in with you throughout the week and see if there's a window where you feel ready and I'm going to help you. I'm going to do all the things you don't want to do. So I said, okay, I'm going to put my big girl pants on this week and we're going to get it done because I don't want to be driving without a valid driver's license either. So there you go. That's number one. I think it's the smaller of the two. So if you are still listening to this podcast, buckle up for the second section here. It's been kind of a challenging week. Okay, so I don't interrupt episodes very often, but I think this is really important and I don't want you to miss it. I want to invite you into the Live Launch Club, which is starting on April 3rd. In the Live Launch Club, I'm going to be leading a launch for the group and everyone will be on the same schedule. You get to choose one offer. I will give you a schedule. I will give you your email templates, what to say, how to say it. I will help you decide on your pricing and I will help you determine your revenue goals so that you can hit them. So join me in the Live Launch Club. We're starting on April 3rd. I will put a link to this group in the show notes and you will finally have the support and community that you need so that you can execute a very strong, profitable launch. I'm excited to see you there. Okay, back to the episode. Today's March 22nd. My birthday is March 5th. So a couple weeks ago, I celebrated my 46th birthday. And my brother's birthday is March 21st. He is 2 years older than me. So my brother just turned 48 yesterday. My brother lives in Santa Barbara as well. And he is homeless. He has been homeless for many years. And it's been really difficult on our family. We all experience it differently. You know, a sibling's experience with, you know, having a sibling who's homeless is a much different experience than a parent whose child is homeless and you don't know where your child is. Like, that's very different. So I have my own experiences that is very different from my parents. And because I live in the same town as him and see him around randomly, it can be either a non-event. I can say, oh, there he is. Great. He's looking good. He's out and about. Okay, great. As I drive by. Or it can send me into tears because it's traumatic. It's very sad to see your sibling struggling with mental health. And I mean, I don't know. There could be addiction. Maybe not. I don't know. But it's certainly not a safe way to live. And it has been going on for many, many years. And we lost touch in our early 20s. Nobody knew where he was. And I was walking down the street here in Santa Barbara with my now husband, which is crazy because we've been friends for 15 years. This was probably 15 years ago. And we ran into him on the street. I was shocked. I was like, you live here? And he said, yeah, I've lived here for about a year. And he just looked very tan, like he was outside a lot. And so I thought to myself, I bet he's homeless just because of the way he looks. We look a lot alike. Our mom is Scottish, so we are fair-skinned, blue-eyed, brown. His hair is pretty dark, almost black, but brunette, blue eyes, fair skin. And he just looked dark. His skin was dark and it was kind of weathered. And yeah, he looked like he'd been outside a lot. So I reported that back to my parents. And every time I see him, I report it back to my parents. And every year on Facebook, I write a happy birthday message to him about him, just reminding people that homeless people are people. They're human beings. They're not a social issue. They're not, you know, clickbait. They're not a problem to be solved. Especially during, you know, political times, you see a lot of legislature around homelessness. They call it the homeless problem. But no one ever talks about homeless people as people. And that's difficult for me to hear. Very difficult for me to hear. So every year on his birthday, you know, it just feels heavy. It feels heavy in my house and my world. And so this week has been tough. It's been really tough. You know, my brother and I are only 2 years apart. Actually, 2 weeks shy of 2 weeks, if we're less than 2 weeks apart. And so for many years, our birthday parties were together. My mom and dad would have joint birthday parties for us. You know, we were connected at the hip. I was always running around with him and his friends. I was a total tomboy when I was a little kid. And nobody knows why he's chosen to live this way. Nobody knows why. I discovered a few years ago that I'm the emergency contact for his medical records. And probably because I'm the only local family member here. We both live in the same town. And so they will call me, the hospital will call me every so often and say, you know, he's here, he's had an injury or he's had a surgery or something and he needs, he's going to be discharged here soon and he needs a place to recover. So can we send him to your house? Can you come pick him up? Can you, sign these things for him, pay for the insurance or the medication or whatever? And that's really difficult as a sibling. If you are a sibling, you have siblings, you know how much you can, every family member's our dynamic is different, but you know how much that can hurt to say no. So I have to say no because I don't know if there, like I said, if there are addictions or mental health problems. I don't know who he knows, so it wouldn't be safe for myself and my home and my husband or my friends to have him recovering in my house, which is heartbreaking for me to say no. He can't come to a place that is safe and warm, and I can't feed him for a few days to help him get better. He has to go back to living on the street because of my safety. So it's hard. It's really hard. It's great to know where he is sometimes. It's great that I can see him once in a blue moon. I'll run into him randomly or walk by him or, drive by him sometimes. And then I have to reconcile in my brain why two kids that grew up in the same house with the same parents and the same everything. I've built a really successful business from nothing. And, we'll drive by my brother who's homeless, who I don't know if he gets to eat every day. I don't know. I don't know if he's healthy. I drive by in a luxury SUV. I don't know how to reconcile that in my brain. And a few years ago, I did have lunch with him and I wanted to talk to him and see how he was. And he was just all sunshine and rainbows, like nothing was wrong and everything's fine. And so I said, hey, let's get you some new clothes. What do you need? What can I get for you? Do you need some food? Do you need some drinks? You know, something? Do you have a backpack? Do you know, what do you need? And he said, I love you. And I know you want to help me, but I don't have any place to store things. And so I can't carry all these things around. And if you bought me a bunch of new clothes, somebody's going to steal them from me anyway. And it's heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking to know that he's not safe and that is the life that he has. It's hard. It's hard. So every year on his birthday, it feels really heavy for me emotionally. And, my husband is a wonderful human and just supports me. But for anybody who's had a family member who, I don't even like to say has chosen this life because I don't know how much of it is in his control. But anybody who just has challenges and ends up in this life, it's hard. It's hard on us. It's hard on the family and the friends and the people that love them. So just a reminder that when you see people on the street that are homeless, you don't have to go to the place that the media wants you to go to, that they're lazy or they're stealing public resources or they're bad people or they are dangerous or blah, blah, blah. Because I know my brother is none of those things. I know he's doing the very best he can with the faculties that he has. And in my mind, he's always going to be my big brother, always. And he's always going to be my parents' firstborn. They figured out how to be parents with him. He was the first one. He's always going to be my big brother. So that's what's happening over here this week. We've got some pretty big things happening. But there doesn't have to be a silver lining when you're feeling emotional and things are happening in your life. But I do want to add to this that even though this week has been really, really difficult, it's also been really great because I have been sort of spending a lot of time helping people get into a new program that I have that I'm really proud of. And it's just a reminder that you can create whatever life you want to create. A lot of us, not most, but a lot of us have the freedom and the intelligence and the tools to design a life that you want to have. And so if you have these times where you're feeling really emotional and heavy and you're not present every day and you have things you need to process, you could take a lot of breaks. I took a lot of breaks this week, a lot. I didn't have any one-on-one client meetings this week. I had two group calls, so that was just 2 hours. And then I spent some time on the couch on my phone, helping people get enrolled into my new program. And that was it. And that was enough. And that felt really good. So for all the things that were hard and emotional and difficult, it was actually really fun to spend some time in the work bubble as well, because I love what I do. And I love recording this podcast. So I appreciate you for listening. I know a lot of you listen every single week and send me messages, and it's just really nice. So thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of Tech Champagne, and I will see you next week. Thanks. Bye.
Thank you for spending your time with me today. I hope this episode brought you exactly what you needed. If you had fun today, be sure to hit the subscribe button or leave me a review. Your support means the world to me, and it helps other women entrepreneurs find the show as well. And if you're looking for a free place to connect and learn more about creating your own six-figure online business, check out my Facebook group, Empowered Entrepreneurs. See you on the next episode.